Now I have resurrection power, living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. No
Lord. Amen. Many guys believe that this morning, that he is the resurrected king. Amen. And so the grave cannot hold him down. Nothing can hold him down. He is powerful, and that is the reason why we are here today. We are celebrating that not only the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, but we're celebrating his resurrection. Amen. There is life in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, and that's what we want to talk about this entire month. Amen. So if we can have the lights come up, and we can see all your beautiful faces this morning. Awesome. Amen. We're going to jump into this. We have a brand new series we're beginning, and it's simply called Easter. Amen. How many guys love this time of year? Amen. Probably one of the most amazing times whenever we consider what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Amen. And so before I get into the message, I do want to reiterate what my wife said. We are going to Gateway Church April 29th and the 30th. And so if you are interested, if you're 18 years and older, we would like for you to contact me some sort of way so that we can get an idea of how many men are interested. We probably need to order those tickets pretty soon. And also, we are going to play Top Golf Men on May 15th. And so we got a couple things lined up for you guys. And we're also going roller skating in April sometime, right?
Yes. The whole church. Everybody.
Amen. Every month we're going to do something for the glory of God. Amen. We're going to take light where darkness is. Hallelujah. We're going to begin this morning, and the title of this one is Let's Have a Meal. Let's Have a Meal. And so we're going to be talking about communion and the Lord's Supper. And we're going to begin in Luke chapter 22, 14 through 20. And it says this. It says, when the hour came, he reclined at the table, speaking about Jesus, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So the Lord Jesus is eagerly, you can see his passion, you can see how he so loved his disciples that he is eagerly awaiting to eat this Passover meal with his disciples. And so they find themselves in an intimate setting in a room. And so he says, I want to eat this Passover meal with you. Now, what is Passover? I just want to briefly talk about this. Whenever the Israelites were captive, whenever they were slaves to the Egyptians, the Lord had shown 9 awesome plagues, of which Pharaoh's heart was still hardened, and he did not let God's people go. So the Lord was about to release the 10th plague, which would ultimately do the job. And the 10th plague was the death of the firstborn son, not only of every person, but of every animal, every livestock. The Lord was about to send his death angel to come and to kill the firstborn of each. That was the 10th and final plague, and eventually that plague would set God's people free once and for all. Now, the night before this great plague takes place, the Lord instructed Moses to tell the people, hey, look, you guys need to go and find a pure and spotless lamb. You need to slaughter that lamb. You need to take the blood of that pure and spotless lamb, and you need to smear it on the doorposts, on the lintel of the doorposts. And whenever my angel passes and it sees the blood on the door, then my angel, the death angel, will pass over your house and go to the next one. That's where we get the term pass over. And so as those who were obeyed the Lord, those who put the blood of the pure and spotless lamb on their door, the death angel passed over their house. And so they were even required to eat a meal in reverence to this. The Lord said, not only are you to smear the blood on the door, but you are to eat the lamb. And we had some lamb the other day. It was pretty good. But they were to roast it, and they were to eat the entire lamb. And if they were not able to eat it all, they were to burn it with fire. None of it was to remain till the next morning. And so this became a tradition in Jewish culture where they begin to do this each and every year to remember what the Lord had done for them, how he delivered them with a great and powerful hand from the slavery of the Egyptians. And so the Lord, again, is eagerly waiting and desiring to eat this with his disciples. Now, there are a lot of similarities between what we call the Lord's Supper and the Passover. Both of them were a meal, a physical meal, but which both of them had a more spiritual meaning, all right? Both of them involved the slaying of a spotless and pure and innocent lamb. In the case of the Passover, it was a real lamb. But in the case of the Lord's Supper, it was Jesus. He was the pure and spotless lamb. It was his blood that would make atonement for our sins. And just like in the Passover, if the blood was over the door, then the death angel, the judgment of God, would pass over that particular person or that particular family. We need the blood of Jesus over our life, the blood of the pure and spotless Lamb, so that when we stand before God, when we stand before the judgment of God, his judgment passes over us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. This should get you excited this morning. And so this is, it's a lot of blood. It's a lot. Why blood? In the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says this, "And almost all things are cleansed with blood, according to the law. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." And so we see this picture. And so the Passover was basically a foreshadowing of the Lord's Supper. It was getting us ready to understand this concept that as the Lord is breaking bread with his disciples, that he is really teaching them, look, this is what's going to happen to my body. Just as this bread is broken, my body is about to be broken. Just as this, just as we're drinking the fruit of the vine, it represents the blood that will pour out of my body, but it will be for your benefit. Everything that Jesus had done on the cross is for your benefit. And so it is, just as it was the Israelites' responsibility to each grab the lamb for each household, it was their responsibility to put the blood upon the post. It was their responsibility to obey the things that the Lord had told them to. It is our responsibility as believers in Christ to take the Lord's Supper and to remember what he'd done in our life. And so each one of us has this personal responsibility. Continue reading in verse 17. It says, "And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, 'Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes.' And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is being given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood.'" So one of the first things that we see in this passage is that the Lord's Supper is for believers. The Lord's Supper is not for unbelievers. In fact, we read other scriptures where it talks about if you take of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, that you bring it upon yourself damnation. The Lord's Supper is for believers. Now, if you're not a believer in this place, you can observe because communion is a public form of worship. You can watch, but I would strongly recommend that you get things right with the Lord and that you would be saved first before you would partake of communion. That's how serious this is. Paul begins to give some other warnings whenever he's addressing the church in Corinth. He hears that they're not really doing in a worthy manner. He addresses them as this, as such. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread," this is 1 Corinthians 11, 27 to 31. It says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Now think about that just for a minute. Guilty of the body and guilty of the blood. Who was guilty of the body and who was guilty of the blood? The soldiers, right, who crucified Jesus, they were guilty. They took lightly what Jesus did. They said, "Oh, you say you're the king of the Jews. Well, pull yourself off the cross. You say you're the son of God." They took for granted. They took it lightly who Jesus was. He said, look, if you take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, you're just as guilty as those who are making light of what Jesus did on the cross. That's a pretty powerful statement. "But a person must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For the one who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not properly recognize the body. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number are asleep." And that means they're dead. You know, they die because they've taken it in an unworthy manner. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we will not be judged. So do you feel the weight of this? Do you feel the responsibility it is to do this in a worthy manner? To not take it lightly. We're not to take the Lord's Supper as a snack. Well, I just need something in my belly. We're to reverence and to think about, we're to direct our thoughts on Jesus. We're to place ourselves in the events that surrounded Jesus in the cross. You think about how he was whipped. You think about the blood that poured out of his body. You think about his back that was brutally whipped and beaten for you. You think about all the elements of the cross, and you think about what he's done, and that is a proper way to go into Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper. We're to feel the weight of this. We're not to cheapen the sacrifice what Jesus did for us. Because for us, salvation is free, right? It is a free gift of God. But for God, it cost him everything. It cost him his son. How many guys would imagine giving your son or giving your kids to save the world? That's exactly what God did. It was not cheap for him. Let's not cheapen the sacrifice. Let's not cheapen what he did on the cross. Those who eat and drink in a worthy manner, not physically but spiritually, but by faith, they are nourished with benefits. You can take in all that the Lord has done for you. If you take it, if you remember what he's done for you, if you remember the price, if you take communion in a worthy way, look, there is joy for you. There is peace for you. There is strength. There is healing for you. There is wisdom. There is guidance for you. There is security. Everything that Christ died for is available to you whenever you take communion in a worthy manner. Whenever you say, I'm going to focus my thoughts on what the Lord has done for me. And so that's another powerful aspect of this. We're going to look at verse 19. It says, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which has been given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. And so each of the Gospels, whenever they talk about the Lord's Supper, they emphasize this idea of covenant. You know, God is a covenant-making God. God made a covenant to Abraham and to his descendants. He said, look, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you descendants. I'm going to give you heirs. I'm going to bless you and multiply you. And the way that they initiated this covenant was a blood covenant. It was a blood covenant. And so whenever they would make a blood covenant back in those days, they would lay out the sacrifices, and they would have all the animals, and they would split them in half, and they would put one row on one side and one row on the other side. And then it says that the two parties would then walk between the sacrifices, as to say, let it happen to me if I do not fulfill my part of the deal. Now, an interesting thing happens with Abraham whenever God makes this covenant. Abraham, as the day goes on, he falls asleep. He is not able to keep his eyes up. But what we learn is that God walks through the sacrifices. And God establishes the covenant himself as to say, look, your works and your abilities to fulfill this covenant, you cannot do it. I'm going to do it. Everything, I'm going to buy your salvation. I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to send my son. I'm going to raise him up. It's going to be my doing. Whew. Isn't that awesome? Because God realized, yes, man does not have the ability to keep his part of the deal. But I am going to keep my part of the deal, and I am going to walk through. I am going to seal this covenant once and for all. It is a blood covenant. Now, in every covenant, let's just say, you know, I make a natural covenant with you. Let's say, look, you guys ask me, Ted, I want you to build me a table, all right? I'm like, all right. So here's part of the covenant. Here's part of the agreement. I am going to buy the wood. I'm going to build this table. And then your part is to pay for it at the end. And so we come into this agreement. And at the end of the agreement, there's an exchange. I give them the table, and they give me the money, all right? So it's an exchange. What kind of exchange do we have in this covenant that God is giving to his people? What kind of exchange? Let me just talk to you just for a moment and get you excited about this exchange, because we are benefits. We are greater benefits of the exchange. God had to lay down his son for us. But in this exchange, Jesus Christ, he was despised and rejected so that we can be accepted by God. Jesus Christ was beaten so that we can be made whole. That was part of the exchange. Jesus took lashes upon his back so that we are healed. That was also part of the covenant that he agreed upon. Jesus was unjustly condemned so that we can be free of condemnation, so that we can be free of sin and death. And we don't have to condemn. We don't have to listen to the lies of the enemy and that condemnation, that we can be free from that. He was condemned to death so that we can be free from condemnation. He took upon himself the penalty of sin, ultimately so that we can become the righteousness of God. What an exchange. What an exchange. He was crushed so that we can be forgiven. Think about that this morning. And that is the proper mindset to have as we enter into Holy Communion. As you think about what the Lord has done. And so I just have a closing statement from John Piper. He says this: those who eat and drink in a worthy manner partake of Christ's body and blood, not physically, but spiritually, in that by faith they are nourished with the benefits he obtained through his death and thus grow in grace. How many of you guys know that we need the blood of the Lamb to cover us from all of our sins? We need the blood of the Lamb to give us that which is accessible through Jesus Christ. We need his joy. We need his strength. We need his mercy. We need his grace. We need his forgiveness. And it's all through the cross. It's all through Jesus, what he's done for us on the cross. Amen. So this morning, as we get ready for communion, we're going to play this video. And as we're playing this video, I want you to really examine yourself. The Lord says not to take it in an unworthy manner. So some people might say, well, I'm just not going to take it at all because I don't want to die and I don't want sickness and I don't want to. No, take it. If you are a believer, you should take it. You should take it and you should remember, but you should take it with the right mindset. You should think about what he has done. You should put yourself in that situation. And you're looking at Jesus. You're looking at the Messiah being brutally beaten for you. And so as we watch this video, prepare your hearts because we're going to partake of communion this morning.
Slain, and my blood washed. how worthy is the Lamb of God. We cry worthy, we cry worthy, we cry worthy is the Lamb of God.
We worship you, Lord. We thank you for the awesome price that you paid for us. God, we say worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain for our sins. And today as we partake of Holy Communion, God, we remember the price that you paid for us. So if you would you take the bread and in remembrance of his body being broken for you, would you take the bread and let's eat together. As you eat, you're receiving healing in your body. As you eat, you're receiving everything that Christ provided for you. Receive it in the name of Jesus. And if you would you take the cup? It's a picture of the blood that flowed from Christ. It's a picture of the covenant that he made with you. This covenant that says, I'm going to give you eternal life. I am going to save you from your sins. And it's going to be my doing because you are not able to do it. So today we remember the covenant. We remember the blood. And so we thank you. And you may drink. Come on, just for a moment, can you lift your hands? Can you worship him? Can you just say, thank you, Lord? Yeah, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the body that was broken for us. We thank you for the blood that poured out. We thank you that our sins are forgiven. And we thank you that our bodies are healed. We love you. And God, we do this in remembrance of what you've done for us. You said, as often as we are to do it, that we are to do it in remembrance of you. So, Lord, we choose to do that this morning. And we thank you for the life that you provide through the cross. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let the church say amen and amen. Glory. Come on. This is God you're talking about. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, give him some praise in this place. Worship the Lord. Worship him. Give him praise and glory and adoration and everything that he deserves in this place. Glory to you, Lord God. Glory to you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being a part of this service. And we hope that you'll continue to remember the Lord's body and what he's done for you, that he's paid for your freedom. He's paid for your healing. He's paid for your, so that you can be made whole. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Thank you.
Amen. We love you guys. Make sure you sign up for prayer and praise right on the end of that. And there's some free bread as well, so just go and enjoy the Lord. Join us next Sunday, Palm Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. We'll be teaching on Palm Sunday.